Who is Brett Kavanaugh? He is Trump's pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. Will he serve the U.S. or will he serve U.S. President Donald Trump's interests? Or will he serve the Republican Party's interests? In this edition of the debate, we have lots of questions on Trump's pick, who has not been confirmed yet, a selection to surely galvanize Democrats and Republicans in the months before the midterm elections.
The U.S. president's nomination of federal appeals judge Brett Kavanaugh for the country's highest court is seen as an attempt by Donald Trump to tilt the court to the right. Kavanaugh, a far-right jurist whose record of decisions, say legal experts, demonstrates he favors big corporations over workers, special interests, and unimpeded presidential power. His elevation, if the Republican-controlled Senate votes yes, would shift the Supreme Court decidedly to the right.
There is no one in America more qualified for this position and no one more deserving.
I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
No sooner was the announcement made, protesters and congressional Democrats were in front of the court, criticizing Kavanaugh as the Supreme Court justice that could end the 45-year-old court decision which legalized abortion, Roe versus Wade.
He is opposed to the rights of women, workers, and consumers.
Are you ready for a fight?
Then let us make sure we continue to fight to say no to this justice, to say no to unbalancing the Supreme Court, and to say yes to liberty and justice.
It's going to be a major political fight as Kavanaugh's judicial record is closely scrutinized, and both the Democrats and the White House are planning expensive media campaigns in order to try to persuade the American people.
This is going to be two armies facing one another across a battle line, armed to the teeth, and not afraid to use every weapon in their armory.
Kavanaugh is already meeting with U.S. senators to lobby for his confirmation before he sits in the hot seat for some intense interrogation in committee. Analysts say his nomination, it appears, will be confirmed, given Republican control of the Senate, but Democrats have vowed to oppose it all the way. The result will be political fireworks not seen here in Washington for a long, long time. Mike Kellerman, Press TV, Washington.
We're joining us for this edition of the debate. We have Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition who joins us from San Francisco. And also we have Michael Lane, president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Welcome to you both. Michael Lane, let me first start with you. Who is Brett Kavanaugh?
Brett Kavanaugh is a lawyer, a very well-known one, actually, in America. He's been around a long time. He first came to public note as a staff member of Ken Starr's special counsel investigatory matters on Bill Clinton. He has a pedigree, academic pedigree, having attended Harvard. He has been a member of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, commonly referred to as the most important Circuit Court of Appeals, for the last several years. And now with the stepping down of Justice Kennedy, the president has asked Judge Kavanaugh to step forward and stand for confirmation to the Supreme Court of the United States. Interestingly, with the stepping down of Justice Kennedy, Justice Kavanaugh got his start as a young lawyer clerking for Justice Kennedy. So I think there's a very close relationship there, and we can look for some of the same characteristics.
Richard Becker, it is said that he has deep ties among the Republican legal groups. Can you please tell us how deep and what kind of ties?
Well, in order to be vetted by the Federalist Society, which has become an extreme right-wing, very powerful body of lawyers that Trump turned to and others, Bush, all the Bush appointees were vetted by the Federalist Society. But to even get in the door, to be considered to be vetted, you have to take a position that you would be willing to overturn Roe v. Wade. That is the women's reproductive rights decision from 1972. That is so critical, but it's not only that. He is on the side of the corporations consistently, the biggest corporations against workers and against consumers. He has consistently been an opponent of the extension of voting rights. This is a truly reactionary figure who, if he is confirmed, will be joining what is truly a very reactionary body. You can't think of less democratic, something more undemocratic, than a court of 9 people appointed for life, not elected, who get to overturn any laws that are passed by the Congress or state legislatures, who themselves are dominated by the big money. So that's who this is. This is a very reactionary, dangerously reactionary, right-wing judge who, if he is confirmed, will tilt this conservative court even further to the right.
Well, the description there of Kavanaugh that our guest Richard Becker gave Michael Lane sounds like a perfect pick for Trump. And if so, that type of character shouldn't be on the Supreme Court, I would guess.
Well, our system calls for checks and balances, the way our Constitution reads, which means that the president gets to nominate whomever he is pleased to nominate, but someone only gets to the Supreme Court with the advice and consent of the Senate. So there's really not much chance that you're going to wind up with an extremist or someone like that on the Supreme Court, someone who's unqualified, et cetera, because of the way our Constitution reads. And as long as I've brought up our Constitution, let me note that one of the primary purposes of a justice on the Supreme Court, or primary functions of a justice on the Supreme Court, is to actually interpret the Constitution, see how it applies to various laws that are passed by the United States Congress, and to see if those laws comply with the Constitution. Now, where Richard and I would probably disagree, I'm a strict constructionist. I'm one of those people that thinks that the Constitution written in parchment is a dry document, it's a historical document, and that decisions about the Constitution's applicability need to be viewed through the eyes of the people who wrote it. And if it's not applicable to a modern day situation, that's why we have Article 5 of the Constitution, which is how you amend it. My guess is, and I'll let him speak for himself, but my guess is that Richard thinks that more of the Constitution as a breathing, living document that changes with the times and can be interpreted by justice given the political winds of the time and what would be a more popular decision. That's really what this argument, I think, or this contest is going to be all about as we go forward trying to figure out whether or not Judge Kavanaugh will become Justice Kavanaugh.
Well, that's interesting. Richard Becker, your reaction there. And, of course, what Michael Lane says there, when I was listening to him, kind of reminded me of how Trump spoke of NAFTA. Go ahead, Richard Becker.
Well, the Constitution was drafted in 1787 and it was ratified in 1789. There were no automobiles. There were no roads that automobiles could drive on. There not only were no telephones, the telegraph hadn't even been invented yet. This is a pretty ancient document from the dawn, the early period of capitalism, and so much has changed. And you have to point out, if you're an originalist, as your other guest suggests, then you're talking about a document that upheld slavery and counted enslaved people as 3/5 of a person, not for the sake of their own representation, but to bolster the power and the representation of their owners, of the slave owners. And it's a document written by slave owners. So we have a constitution that is completely out of date. It contains no economic or social rights. It contains only political rights. And at the time it was written, those political rights only applied to white male property owners. So if that's the vision that this new nominee, Kavanaugh, has, and that's what Trump suggested he has, that he looks at the Constitution as it was written, then we're talking about an extremely reactionary document that comes from the time when there were no rights for women, no rights for minorities, no rights for people who did, or even white males who didn't own sufficient property.
Well, I'm looking at some descriptions here, Richard Becker, of Kavanaugh, and I'm going to read off a couple of them. One says, Kavanaugh says sitting president can't be indicted. Kavanaugh, who would be presiding over a case should the press be indicted, thinks that the press can't stand trial. Trump has nominated a get-out-of-jail-free card. Is that the case, Richard Becker?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, his view, by the way, is a view that the president should be looked at as a king, as a monarch who is above the law. There's no other way to interpret it if you say that the president can't be investigated while he's in office than to say that, you know, he is an imperial monarch. And again, this is the view of a number of the others on the Supreme Court. The whole makeup of the court, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, will be one that is aiming, I believe, at driving back, at repealing the rights that people have fought for and won, and really turning back the clock of history. It would not be the first time that happened. After Reconstruction in the United States, the Supreme Court, which has traditionally been a very reactionary institution, issued decision after decision that upheld Jim Crow, upheld white supremacy, and discriminated against people of color, particularly black people.
Okay, Michael Lane, you know, when you talked about how the Constitution is, I don't want to use the word out of date, but not applicable to modern day society. Maybe that's one way of describing it, if my interpretation of what you said was correct. It sounds like you're saying that it should be revised. And I'm guessing that your meaning, your statement perhaps is alluding to this particular pick being one of the people from the Supreme Court that may do just that. Is one of the things that he is being described as doing, it is for Trump to basically, as a president, not be indicted, because that's how he's being described.
Okay, what I meant to say, and my apologies for the audio difficulties, I think we have that problem solved now. What I meant to say was that the two ways of looking at the Constitution, if you look at the United States legal profession in two different camps, one is the camp that says it's a strict constructionist. You look at the document in terms of the viewpoint of the people who wrote it back in 1770-whatever, and the other viewpoint is the one where you look at it in terms of what times it are now and you interpret it based on what the times are. So I'm one of those people who actually believes in strict constructionism. I think that the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution anticipated that it would be out of date in certain respects over the course of time, and that's why they created an amendment process, Article 5 of the Constitution, that allows for the Constitution to be amended to be brought up to date with the times. Our Constitution has been amended 27 times, so the system has been tested and the system does work.
Okay, let's get down to some nitty-gritty here, if we can, Richard Becker. We talked about Roe versus Wade. I think we need to talk about some more things that Kavanaugh perhaps, I don't know, might want to amend. We heard Elizabeth Warren in one of the sound bites of the report, and she spoke the same way she has spoken about Trump, the same way she spoke about Kavanaugh. Rights of women, workers, and consumers. What types of issues may Kavanaugh tackle?
Well, he made clear in a case in the last couple of years that he disagreed with the majority of the D.C. Court of Appeals in upholding the Obama era regulations that called for net neutrality. He's against net neutrality. He's for unfettered, for the unfettered right of big corporations and banks to do whatever they want. He's an opponent of environmental regulations. He's going to stand with the court on that. He's against the extension of the Voting Rights Act, which is very badly needed. And we can see now all over the country where the right wing has the upper hand. They are gerrymandering in order to diminish the electoral power of black and Latino and other minority communities. So you can just go down the line here, and we believe that if he is confirmed, there'll be a new attack on the rights of LGBT people, lesbians and gays. There'll be more attacks on women's rights, not just an attempt to overturn Roe v. Wade, but that could be attempted very soon, against unions, against workers, and the right to organize, and the so. In every respect, this is a true reactionary. And I would have to ask Mr. Lane, you know, how can you be an originalist in regard to the Constitution when the Constitution upheld slavery? What is your position on that?
Michael Lane?
Well, to answer the second part first, the Constitution was incorrectly interpreted to uphold slavery, and it was the Supreme Court decisions were reversed, overturned, or the Constitution was amended to take care of all those things.
After the Civil War.
When we had an imperfect... Well, yes. I mean, after the Civil War, it was a great deal. But I'm very proud of President Lincoln, who did fight a Civil War to keep the Union together, and the end result of which was the Emancipation Proclamation issued in 1863, which freed all the slaves. Now, as far as the other topics that Mr. Becker brought up, you know, net neutrality, it's not the biggest issue in the United States. You know, what you have here is one set of really, really rich corporations like Comcast and Verizon and AT&T in one corner against another set of really, really rich corporations like Facebook and Instagram and Netflix in the other corner. You know, when it comes to big business versus big business, I'm all for just like, let's not have any regulation of the internet. You know, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, you mentioned Senator Elizabeth Warren in your question. Senator Warren is running for president. I think everything she says from now on ought to be viewed through the prism of someone who's running for president. It is an absolute mandatory thing for any Democratic candidate who seeks the office of president or seeks the nomination for office of president to oppose everything that Donald Trump does, as evidenced by the fact that Elizabeth Warren was part of that rally where they had all the signs pre-printed, we oppose this justice because of abortion, LGBT rights, big business, all these things, and you had to hand write in with your magic marker the name of the justice you were opposing because they didn't know who it was going to be when they created the signs. This is politics, American domestic politics. We've unfortunately devolved down to this since the late 1980s when the whole politicization of the Supreme Court began with the nomination by Ronald Reagan of Judge Bork, and it's just gotten worse to the point where it's just totally over the top right now.
Well, I'm sorry, but Richard Becker, some of the things that you have said against voting rights, corporate interests, women rights, against unions, big business, I mean, this is a complete rollback just in terms of ideology that's being nominated, and it sounds somewhat parallel to Trump's way of looking at things. If I may put them two into one class. I mean, is that what this U.S. administration is bringing into the picture of American society? Some of the things that Americans have fought so hard to gain that they may be rolled back?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Trump is supporting a white, rich person nationalist agenda, a white nationalist agenda. You know, he pretended for a while in New York because he lived in New York to be a liberal. But now we see the real Trump, and he has refashioned himself in a way to appeal to the most reactionary elements, but also to the most, the richest big corporate and banking interest. And what they want is to roll back the rights that people have fought for and won, the right of workers to have a union, the right of women to control their own bodies. The environment, to protect the environment rather than just the wanton destruction by rolling back all the environmental regulations. And we could just go on and on. And what that translates into, the rollback of those regulations in the end translates to greater and greater profits for fewer and fewer corporations and the ultra rich in this country. You know, the average CEO today makes in one day what the average worker in their corporation makes in a whole year. And that inequality is developing, and that inequality is what the Trump administration is dedicated to see increase even further. And that's what appointing people like Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court is meant to enhance that whole thrust of society.
Well, we're looking at the midterm elections since we're running quickly out of time here. And Michael Lane, I'd like to find out from you how this will affect the midterm elections. Obviously, the Democrats and Republicans, they're going to be up for a fight with each other. Chuck Schumer of New York, I will oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have. How do you think the midterm elections are going to get affected by this?
I think it increases enthusiasm on both sides. Up to this point, I think that it was very clear in my mind anyway that the Democrats were on the top side of the enthusiasm gap and that the Republicans were going to suffer during the midterms as a result of it. I think this fight is going to energize both sides. And if both sides are energized equally, then the Democrats will still win the enthusiasm gap, which means they're going to have a good November. If, on the other hand, Republicans become more enthused because of a victory, particularly if there are three or four or five Democrat senators from Trump states who wind up voting for Judge Kavanaugh, I think that's lets a little bit of the air out of the Democratic balloon, and it advantages the Republicans in the midterm.
And same question to you, Richard Becker, in 30 seconds, please.
Well, I think that it's going to be a very contested election. I think that from our point of view as an independent, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I think it's very dangerous to put our hopes in the so-called blue wave. I think that a huge amount of money is going to go into in both sides. And when the Democrats have had control, they've been very, very disappointing. But I think I do agree that it will be a very hotly contested election in the fall.
Very well. Thank you very much for that. Richard Becker there from the Answer Coalition. And thank you, Michael Lane, president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Vitale and the entire team at the Capitol Tehran, it's goodbye.